This week on The Local Take, we are continuing our conversation about the voter suppression bill, SB 202, that recently became law in our state. Over 47 states are considering voter suppression laws in response to the overwhelming turnout during the 2020 election cycle. Instead of rejoicing at the civic engagement on both sides, the Republicans in our state have said out loud that suppressing the vote is the only way they can win. Dr. William Boone, former head of the Clark Atlanta University Political Science Department and associate professor of political science at Clark Atlanta, is joining us to provide some context and perspective. Dr. Boone, welcome back to The Local Take.
Thank you.
Thank you for always providing us with the political and historical view. And as you know, voter suppression is as American as apple pie and mass shootings. Did the Georgia bill go too far? You know, there's a call for a board that could literally overturn any county's election results.
Yeah.
Have we been distracted about the water? Is this really terrible what they've done?
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. When we talk about voting laws, states enacting voting laws, counties, no matter what level of government, the criteria should be whether or not this particular law is going to be more inclusive, an attempt to increase the number of eligible voters, and will it also not be overly burdensome in terms of folk trying to participate in the voting process. This law overall fails in both areas. It does not try to increase the number of people who can be eligible to vote. As a matter of fact, you mentioned the fact about the state board that can supersede local boards, and which theoretically could possibly mean that that an election could be over, election results in a particular county or municipality could be overturned by this board. So that there's always this possibility. One has these kind of horrific thoughts if Trump had called up to that particular board, maybe he would have gotten his way. But you're right. Yeah, it the law itself is premised on the idea that it's going to clean up and make the law a bit more, still a little more confidence in voting. But quite frankly, the Georgia law, the Georgia last election, presidential election, the votes were counted three times, and each time it turned out to be the same. The Republican state Secretary of State also certified them and said they were right. As a matter of fact, Georgia was going around the country at that point touting the fact that it had the cleanest and fairest election around. But yet they come back. And the reason they come back, quite frankly, is what you mentioned at the top of your show, that the Republicans lost.
Well, will this eventually be decided by the courts? You know, should citizens continue to protest? Is this the law of the state at this point?
Well, at the moment, it is the state's law. There's no injunction to stop it from going into effect. And certainly there are multiple lawsuits being pressed in the court to try to stop this law in certain aspects. Certainly ACLU and other private groups out there, and other groups out there attempting to address the law's shortcomings as it attempts to suppress votes in some areas. Yeah, and certainly the idea of protesting is that one should always protest. I mean, because to not raise questions about policy will give those who are in control of policy the idea that at least they can get away with what they're doing, if what they're doing is correct, depending on what side you want to take on that. But certainly, continued protest is key, because continued protest helps to keep the light on what is happening. Otherwise, it sort of falls into the on the back page of newspapers and falls off of social media altogether.
Now, business leaders have been coming together. A couple of weeks ago, they convened over 100 CEOs on a Zoom call. They took out ads in the Washington Post and the New York Times. Are business leaders going to make a difference in fighting these voter suppression bills? Is this something new on the national stage for businesses across all industries and disciplines, you know, to come together in support of voting rights?
Well, the idea of them supporting voting rights with this kind of specificity is somewhat novel. But I would say that in terms of a context, remember, U.S. businesses have always been involved in politics from the very beginning. That has always been a part of the business structure in this country. I mean, businesses contribute millions of dollars to political campaigns all across the country in an attempt to influence elected officials to vote and to put into place certain policies. Now, the calls that businesses should not be involved in this kind of thing are somewhat disingenuous, coming from folk who receive campaign contributions from these various businesses. But also, I would think that just not too long ago in the state of Georgia, when there was a discussion about passing laws that would limit the rights of LGBTQ community folk, Georgia businesses weighed in on that very strongly. And the state legislature, as you recall, responded in a way that sort of put that particular effort, the policy effort, to rest. So the idea that businesses should not be involved, especially since we're talking about Georgia particularly, is very disingenuous because they have in the past and they continue to. Georgia Power is deep into politics in terms of its lobbying the state legislature in terms of the fuel tax. Right, and the same thing with such large companies as Walmart, the other companies and Microsoft. All of these companies have a stake in what happens politically, and they like to be involved. Remember that the discussion about this particular bill. Some people who represent the business community were there, not necessarily when the bill was finally written up, but they were certainly consulted, and they did have some sort of, they didn't have a seat at the table per se, but certainly they were engaged to some extent at a low level in terms of this new set of voting laws. So even the people who are now disparaging businesses for being involved did recognize that early on, but when the businesses decided to come out and say, look, this is wrong, so it was a kind of duplicity going on here, to some extent hypocrisy.
Now, there was an article in the Washington Post about all of the business leaders coming together. And in that same edition, there was an editorial that said, business has already decided, and all you have to do is look at the commercials. And if you look at commercials on television or social media these days, almost every commercial is a mixed race family, a mixed race couple, are races mixed together, you know, in some kind of way or fashion. So has business really already decided where they stand, you know, on some of these polarizing issues?
I think you're absolutely correct, Kiplin. When one looks at, you know, in the last decade, you've seen commercial and large companies populating their ads with the very kinds of people that you're talking about in terms of the description of couples, families, outings. All of these tend to move in that direction, which means that businesses are attempting to, or at least responding to, pressures to recognize more. The diversity of America, both in terms of not only race, but in terms of gender, because one even sees in some commercials
two dads or two moms.
Right, yeah, you really do. So, yes, businesses are attuned to that because businesses see the demographic shift, they see the societal changes, and they want to cater to those particular interests in order to expand their businesses. So whether or not they're doing it for causes that rises to a high moral ground or simply in terms of the bottom line, the real idea is that they are involved and they see the wave coming. So definitely a business is already there. And in terms of voting, remember that a good many of the folk who live in Georgia who will be impacted by these new laws are folk who work for some of these businesses. And so, therefore, the businesses see a need to respond even at that level.
So, you at this point, business is doing something that, of course, everyone should be in support of, which is voting rights.
Right.
But do we really want business in politics in this way? Because if it was something else, you know, if it was right. business against LGBTQ rights, there would be a pushback. So
absolutely.
So is this what we want, or is this just what we need right now when there's such a lack of trust in all the other components?
Right.
People don't trust the media. They don't
trust the government. Right?
They don't trust the government. Is this the best thing that we've got going right now?
Well, I think your point is a very fair point. I really do, because it's a two-edged sword, because businesses could swing in a different direction, and they could be supportive of white supremacy clause. I mean, ideas. They really could. But businesses, I think, they look at, I don't want to sound too crass or to think that businesses don't really think about society, but businesses are charged with the responsibility of maintaining a profit. Those are the ones that we're talking about, maintaining a profit for their shareholders. And so whatever it takes to do that, and that sounds kind of crude, I know, whatever it takes to do that, they will probably do. But I understand your point, because they could go another direction and use their resources to sway the public opinion in a different way. So it's not a thing that you would want to say, look, businesses will always do the right thing. So you have to be careful about whom you choose. But you notice that the group that you mentioned, that the New York Times mentioned about the ministers and other faith leaders convening with the hundreds or so businesses, they are still attempting to instigate a boycott, at least against one, Home Depot, locally based in Georgia, in Atlanta specifically, because they did not comply. Now, I think when you talk about Home Depot, you need to put that in context. One of the original founders of Home Depot is a big supporter, and I don't know if it continues to be, but certainly was a large supporter of Donald Trump, I mean, financially and otherwise. So you have, your point, they could have moved in a different direction, because one of those persons who owned Home Depot was putting his finances and putting his resources and weight in a way to support Trump. And Trump's run for the presidency back in 2016. So you're absolutely right. Your point is well taken.
Well, let's just hope that this iteration of businesses coming together in support of voting rights will turn out to be a good thing. Dr. Boone, I want to thank you as always for sharing with our listeners and giving us that broader political perspective on what's going on. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.